Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You've heard it before. You've probably heard it more and more with every passing year. You used to say, so-and-so died, the funeral will be held Tuesday. Well, then it became, well, funeral sounds so funereal, doesn't it? It sounds so sad, so morose. So-and-so died, the memorial service will be held Tuesday. And then this little bit of terminology entered the parlance of not only pop American Christianity, evangelicalism, but also kind of mainstream Christianity as well, even some what ought to be otherwise Orthodox congregations. So-and-so died. Celebration of life will be held Tuesday. So what's the difference between funeral and celebration of life? And should a funeral be a celebration of life? We're going to be responding to the evangelical cliche that a funeral is a celebration of life. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 8th. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and is host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting Television. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is the essential difference between the traditional funeral when a Christian dies and the new celebration of life?
Well, this topic was suggested by an emailer, Bob, from Washington, who has this description. He says, next Monday I will attend, within the past year, the third, quote, celebration of life for a good friend. No funeral, no liturgy, just an open mic and pictures and happy memories. I think is really quite great to contrast what a funeral is versus what a celebration of life is. A celebration of life, and this, you know, as an evangelical cliche is one thing, but just as a cultural phenomenon, is another thing. The celebration of life is all about what was. It's taking the person's life, and it's filtering out all the bad parts, and it's presenting that as something to rejoice in. It's almost presenting, it's kind of pulling out all the things the person accomplished and putting them up in front of our eyes so that we can rejoice. The idea is that, you know, with our life, we're telling a story. With our life, we're crafting a picture. We're building something with our life, and then we get to the end, and finally, it's like the art is displayed in the gallery, and that's what the celebration of life is. It's the gallery of all your good accomplishments, and all the people that are supposed to go there are not supposed to weep. That's one of these things that you hear all the time. Don't weep for me. Don't be sad. Celebrate my life. So the celebration of life is all about what was. The funeral, on the other hand, is all about what was and what is and what will be. The Christian funeral is not about the works and deeds of the person, but about the works and deeds of Christ accomplished for that person, namely his death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, the fact that they are enjoying the Lord in heaven now, and that they will enjoy the Lord even more in the resurrection. And that's in some ways they're different. In many ways, the celebration of life is the precise opposite of the funeral.
So we have these adjectives like funereal, which are supposed to denote sadness, somberness, darkness, all of these kinds of things, and especially something that I think is at the heart of this cliche, or at the heart of why this cliche exists in the first place, our discomfort with genuine Christian mourning. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for some reason, we think that crying, weeping, is a sin, or at least is bad, or it's undignified or something like that. Maybe it is undignified, but it's certainly not a sin. And we prove that simply by considering Jesus. I mean, everything Jesus did was good. Everything he did was a good work. And he wept. He wept. We have three times in the Bible he wept, and especially when he hears that Lazarus, his friend, who lived in Bethany with his sisters, Martha and Mary, when Jesus hears the news that Lazarus has died, he weeps. And that's the shortest verse in the scripture. Jesus wept, and the people saw him weeping, and they say, see how he loved him. That Jesus wept because, well, two reasons, I suppose. Number one, because he loved Lazarus, and Lazarus was dead. And number two, that Jesus knows that death is bad. He does not, the Bible never talks about death as a friend. You know how we're so tempted to be kind of secular about death and sing Lion King and talk about the circle of life, and we hear things like death is part of life and it's all part of the cycle and everything. That's wrong in the Bible. Death is not part of. We are not supposed to die. Jesus does not put up with death. He doesn't learn how to accept death. He doesn't like death at all. Death, Jesus considers death the enemy, and so he knows that when people die, it's bad. And the proper response is to cry, to be sad, to weep. And that is what Christians do. We weep when the Lord calls our loved ones from life to death.
All right. Let's talk about the elements of this thing a little bit, because for maybe a generation now, when someone has died, there are many Christians out there who don't know what a funeral, except perhaps kind of the canned funeral home funeral for people, you know, the old fuddy-duddies who die. They're certainly not going to have their celebration of life. They're too old. The pictures are in black and white. Come on. we'll just go to that funeral and we'll hear a hired preacher give a generic and usually very depressing homily. They say, look, it's so much better to get together with the whole congregation, to put up the big screen, to have the video or the picture montage with some, maybe that person's favorite country western song. And then, like you said, then everybody gets to go to the mic and say great things about the recently deceased. Let's talk about those elements. What's wrong with this?
Well, I don't want to say, I mean, I think all that's fine. We should look at pictures. We should talk about our loved ones. That's fine. It's just not the funeral service. I mean, there needs to be something more. It's good to tell stories and to listen to music and to do that sort of stuff, but that cannot ever replace the funeral service where the Lord's word is preached, because there is more to life than life. I mean, there's more to us than the mortal life that we live here. And when we die, we are not done. When we die, our soul is with the Lord Jesus in heaven, waiting for the last day when Jesus will return with a shout and speak and call the dead up out of the grave. And that stuff is what really matters. And that must be preached. The word of Jesus must be preached in the darkness and gloom of the grave. We have to mix our weeping with hope, not just with laughter or with funny stories or with happiness. We have to mix our tears with hope, because that's how Paul teaches that Christians mourn. We do not mourn as those who have no hope. And if you want to have hope, it's not in the person's life, in the pictures of the things that they've done, or of stories of funny things that they accomplished. The hope is in Christ, and he being the first fruits, the first one to come up out of the grave. We have to put our hope in him. So if we don't have a service that preaches and delivers Christ, then we don't have anything at all.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the evangelical cliche, the funeral is a celebration of life. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. click the Concordia University online logo, and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. ISSUESETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the evangelical cliche that a funeral is supposed to be a celebration of life. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting Television. We'll post a link to Grappling with the Text under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, we were talking before about the elements of this celebration of life, and I'm wondering whether or not it also stems from a fact that kind of the another maybe cultural cliche that you really shouldn't say bad things about the dead. And if we have to point out that this person was a sinner and that kind of explains the death part, that might depress some people. What do you think?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, this is the problem is, you know, sometimes you go to a celebration of life and you're like, was I in the right place? Because the guy that I knew, he would sin every now and again, and doesn't sound like that was the same guy. And you get this, I mean, this is the same kind of problem you get with the eulogies, it's an attempt to justify the person's existence, which does not need justifying because they are already justified by Jesus. I mean, this is really the big conflict with the celebration of life. It is the question for us as we consider these things. Because, celebration of life certainly is there inside the church. It's there outside the church. It's the main product that the funeral industry is now selling people, the celebration of life. And so all of us, I heard a Lutheran pastor say, hey, when I die, I don't want to have a funeral service. I want to have a celebration of life. And I said, well, you don't get what you want, because you're going to get a funeral where we're going to hear about Jesus and all the good things that he did. Because who do you want to be justified? I mean, how do you want your justification? Through your works or through a kind of whitewashed version of your own history? Or do you want it from the mouth of Jesus who says your sins are forgiven? And that's the main difference. The funeral service rejoices in the justification of Jesus. It rejoices in the justification won by his death and delivered by the gift of baptism, the justification that we hear when we hear the absolution and that we eat when we eat the Lord's body and blood. That's the joy that the Christian has in life and in death and at the funeral service, and that is a much more profound, it is the only way to be justified. If we try to justify ourselves, it just ends in despair.
You say that there's a neo-Gnosticism that is lurking in this evangelical cliche.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of theological trends that make the celebration of life so attractive to the evangelical. And one is a Gnosticism that's there that runs all the way through evangelical theology. Gnosticism, remember, I mean, this is kind of a lazy sketch of Gnosticism, but it divided the world into the good and the bad, and the bad was the physical world, and the good was the spiritual world. So our bodies are trapping us in this physical world that's bad, and then when I die, my soul is released to the heavens, and that's good. This Gnosticism it probably shows up in a number of places. The most profound and I think dangerous place that this shows up in evangelicalism is in a refusal to see any goodness or grace or promise in physical things. So the Lord Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood. He says, baptize with water. And the evangelical refuses to see any sort of spiritual blessing in those physical things. That's a manifestation of this Gnosticism that they have. But another side effect is that it tempts the evangelical Christian to forget about the resurrection, to think that heaven is in fact eternal, to forget that that our body matters even after we die. And so the body is forgotten about. You hear people say, hey, you know, when I die, just pitch my body in the lake. I'm done with it. Well, in fact, that's wrong. You're not done with your body. You're going to get it back when Jesus calls it up out of the grave. And so the tenderness that a funeral service treats the body of the Christian, where it carefully cares for the body and puts the body in the ground to rest, that care is a confession of the resurrection, that body will be raised. And I think evangelicalism, with their kind of neo-Gnostic forgetting, the tendency to think that the body is the bad thing and the soul is the good thing, I think forgets about the resurrection, and that really loosens up the funeral service to become the celebration of life.
Now, what we've been talking about here really sounds more like a wake than a funeral, and I have no problem with wakes if we want to sit around and say nice things about the dead and drink a toast to the dear departed here. That's a great thing, but it can't be the substitute for the funeral.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. I mean, we do have joy in each other, and we should always have joy in each other. I mean, you know, it's good that families sit around and eat and tell stories. We when we're alive, we don't spend 24 hours a day at church. We shouldn't do that when someone dies either. You don't have to. It's not just church, but you have to have the funeral service there so that the Lord's word is brought in and brought in by the pastor. You know, it's not it's not the family's job to comfort themselves. I was with a family that was, we were planning a funeral for someone. Oh, this was a couple of weeks ago, and this was really the first major death that they had in their family. And they came, and we were just starting the conversation, and they said kind of exasperatedly, Pastor, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, you're not supposed to, you know, but the church has been doing this for a long time. We got it. We know just what to do. We gather you up. We pray. We hear the Lord's word. We rejoice in his kindness that he gave to your dearly departed in his life, that he has for your dearly departed now, and that he has in the future in the resurrection. And then we go and we put their body in the ground in the hope of the resurrection. And we trust in the Lord's promise. And we sing over the grave a hymn of Easter. We know just what to do. And the wisdom of the church has given us this great thing to do. A funeral. And it is really one of the height of foolishness to neglect that.
Finally, then, I want you to reflect pastorally on really what I think is this practice of the celebration of life is, while it seems to offer a comfort, it is actually deeply spiritually dangerous to those who lose these loved ones, who need to mourn but are told, in effect, hey, you get over it. The church will help you get over it by reminding you what a swell fella he was. What are your thoughts there with about a minute?
Yeah, that's right. And it's utterly wrong. Our mourning is a good work. I mean, love takes two different forms depending on where a person is. If the person that we love is with us, the form it takes is delight. But if the person that we love is far from us, it takes the form of mourning, and it is a good work to mourn those that we lost. The Christian life is a life of mourning. It's one of the other problems. Almost every hymn that we sing in the church sings about death, and we realize that our Christian life is preparation for death, that we would finally come to the place where the saints that the Lord has called before us have gone. And we cannot neglect the hearing of the Lord's word, not only for the comfort that we have in mourning, but for the fact that it is that word that brings us to the fullness of joy where our loved ones are. And that is the goal of the funeral and really the goal of coming to church and the goal of our Christian lives.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting Television. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
You got it.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly series responding to evangelical cliches, Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we will look forward to Sunday morning. According to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. We're also going to talk with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column about a Church of England advertising campaign that was rejected by a major British cinema chain. We'll be talking about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.